literally, though, the Bikurim, when you bring Bikurim, you bring from the Zayin Minim. The Birchas Al HaMichya, it's Al HaMichya, there's Al HaEitz, the Al HaGefen, right? So all of the items, the seven items in Al HaMichya are from the Zayin Minim. And basically, the Baruch of Al HaMichya is taken, there's a lot there that is extracted from the mitzvah of Bikurim. That's why it says the only bracha where we actually mention the Mizbeach is in the bracha of Al HaMichya. The Al Mizbechecha, the only bracha where we mention the Heichel is the Al HaMichya. The Al Mizbechecha, the Al Heicholecha. Why? Why do we mention in the Al HaMichya the Mizbeach and the Heichel? The answer is...
Kedusha Tahara.
Why is that so? Because when you bring Bikurim, what do you do with Bikurim? You put it down, v'hinachta lefnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha, v'hishtach havis, and you bow down lefnei Hashem Elokecha. So you put the Bikurim before the mizbeach, and you bow before the heichel. Lefnei Hashem Elokecha means before the heichel. So being that in the midst of Bikurim, part of the procedure involves the mizbeach and the heichel, that is why we mention the mizbeach and the heichel in the midst of Bikurim. Now go further. When can you do the vidui? The vidui, the amira. When you bring Bikurim, you have to recite all the psukim of Parashas Kisav, Arami, Ovid Avi, Yerd Mitzrayma. When does the mitzvah of Bikurim take place? So the Mishnah says very clearly, it begins on Shavuos. And you can do this all the way until Sukkos. From Shavuos until Sukkos, the Mishnah says, maybe you bring Bikurim, Bikore, and you read the Psukim. When it comes Sukkos, you can no longer read the Psukim. Because the Psukim say, V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, and after Sukkos, the Simcha is over, because the season is over. But you still have an obligation to bring Bikurim. When does the obligation end? It says in the Mishnah, Chanukah. From Sukkos until Chanukah, maybe the Enoi Koire. From Chanukah going forward, you don't even bring Bikurim. Therefore, Chanukah and Purim are not in the season of Bikurim. So when you cite the Baruch of Al HaMichya, you're reciting something which relates to the mitzvah of Bikurim. And being that the mitzvah Bikurim does not apply during the season of Chanukah and Purim, that's why we make no mention of Bikurim, we make no mention of Chanukah and Purim in Al HaMichya, which relates to Bikurim. Okay, that's I think a really good answer. Well, that's our topic. Let's discuss a little bit about Al HaNisim. I want to mention to you. Let's first run through some. We spoke about some stuff last week. We spent time last week more on ideas that are a little bit more elaborate, more concepts. Let me discuss some of the details of this bracha of the nusach. Okay, so we start off b'mei matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Let's do some basics. Let's just run through the nusach very quickly. Who here is the Kohen Gadol? Is Yochanan the Kohen Gadol or is Matisyahu the Kohen Gadol? Again, we may, during the days of Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmo Noi. What does the word Chashmo Noi mean? So everything over here is subject to debate. There are two opinions. Some say the word Kohen Gadol goes on Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Why is that problematic? Because Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, was at the end of his life became a tzedoki. He was a pious Jew for 80 years, and when he was 80 years old, he basically went off the derech. He became a tzedoki. So why should we give him kavod, honor, when we recite this nusach in reference to a Jew who basically he gave it all up after 80 years? It's a little bit strange that we should give him so much credit. So some want to say that we're not, so the word Kohen Gadol is not going on him. We're basically going to take away his title of honor, but instead the word Kohen Gadol goes on Matisyahu. Matisyahu is the one, Matisyahu is the Kohen Gadol, and Yochanan, we just call him Yochanan. Some want to say is that once we do that, Yochanan is not necessarily the Yochanan of the Gemara. There were two Yochanans. There was a holy person by the name of Yochanan who did not do anything wrong, and then there was Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, who indeed went off the Derech, became a Tzedoki. He is not the one that is being mentioned over here. We are referring over here to a different Yochanan who did nothing wrong. In fact, how many words are there in the Al HaNisim? There are different versions. Some have 124, and some versions have 125. 124 is the same gematria as Yochanan. And some want to say that Yochanan was one who was the author of this Nusach. And those who say that it's 125, that's the gematria of Kohanim. Kohanim is the gematria of 125, and he didn't want to give himself credit, so he added one more word in order to ascribe the honor to the Kohanim. The word Chashmonoi, what does that word mean? Some say that word means it was a title of honor. It was not necessarily anything specific. It's not really clear. Different interpretations what it stands for. I'm not even sure, but some say that it's the name of a city. And in fact, Chashmoina in the Masois, we have over here, just joined us, Yankee Ziegelbaum. He's the iPhone man over here on our screen. So he's an expert Balkriya. I don't see Rabbi Mayevsky here yet. He's also an expert Balkriya and Chashmoina. In the Masois, in the 42 Masois, that Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert, which is the 25th Masa, the 25th journey. The 25th journey is Chashmoina. Chashmoina, isn't that interesting? Chanukah took place on the 25th day of Kislev. And Chashmoina is the 25th journey that Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert. Okay, that can't be a coincidence. Chaf Hei B'Kislev is the number 25 is a very significant number. When it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, for many, many reasons. Number one, how many gifts do the Kohanim have? How many gifts do the Kohanim do they receive in the Torah? 24. But the 25th gift of the Kohanim the honor is that
Chanukah. 24.
The Kohanim Chof Dalit Matnois Kohuna. And you know what the 25th is? The kavod that Klal Yisrael gives them every year when they light Chanukah candles. The menorah is the job of the Kohanim. And Haneris Halalu Kodeshem Eilon Rishus L'Shamashem. It says in the Nusach, Alidei Kohanecha HaKedoshim. We give kavod to the Kohanim. Now you can give Kohanim money, Pidyon HaBen. You give him the Zroya, the Lechayim, the Akeva, you give him the Basar, you give him this, give him that, Trumas, Maestros, a lot of gifts you give the Kohen. You know what the biggest gift to give a person is? Kavod. Okay? After you give him what got to eat, you give him the basics, you give him honor. It's the 25th gift that we give the Kohanim. We give them Kavod. Chashmoina, it's not a coincidence. Okay, it happened on the 25th day. The 25th day of the month of Kislev, which corresponds to the 25th day of Kislev when the Mishkan was complete. The Mishkan was complete on the 25th day of Kislev, and Hashem said, we're going to wait until Nisan, and I'm going to make it up to day number 25 of the ninth month, the miracle of Chanukah. So the 25th day was when the Mishkan was complete. It was when the miracle of Chanukah happened. It was done through the Kohanim who received 24 gifts. And now they're going to get another gift of giving the honor of ascribing the miracle of Chanukah to them. And it occurred to the Kohanim the name of their Malchus was Chashmonoim. Where did the word Chashmonoim come from? There are many interpretations, but one interpretation was because they came from a city called Chashmoina. There was a city Chashmoina. Is that the same city as the Chashmoina in the Masois? Not likely, maybe, who knows, not so clear. But it's not a coincidence that in the Masois there are 25 Masois, and the 25th is Chashmoina. Okay, so we have over here this term. We have Matisyahu. He was the son of Yochanan, who is the Kohen Gadol. We just learned the Kohen Gadol can go, going back on either or. It's not so clear who it's going back on. It's going back on Matas Yahu, or is it going on Yoichanan? And then we discussed, is it really Yoichanan? Which Yoichanan is this? The Yoichanan that became a Tzedoki at the end of his life after 80 years? Or is this a different Yoichanan? What does it mean, a Chashmonoi? What does that word mean? That means the Malchus of the Chashmonoim. Okay, we call it the Malchus. Why was the Chashmonis Koyhanim, who became the kings, they took over the kingship of the Jewish people, why were they called Chashmonoim? What does that word mean? It's a very hard word to define. Is it because they came from a city called Chashmona, like in the Masois, or does it some acronym? It's an acronym. It's each of the Rosh Teva. It's like Maccabi. What does it mean, Maccabi? All of these things, these are very hard words to define. Are they really words, or are they acronyms for different expressions which we not mind? Baruch Shem Kivoid, Baruch Shem, Baruch Kivoid Malchus. So the different acronyms. What exactly does it mean? It's not so clear. It's a very hard word to define. The word Chashmona, I will assume it means they came from a city called Chashmona. And that's why this family of Kohanim were called Chashmonim, and that extended to define the name of their Malchus when they became the kings of the Jewish people. There was no one leading in the from Shevet of Yehuda, so temporarily they were given permission to take over Jewish leadership, and they were Kohanim. They came from the city of Chashmona. They were called Chashmonoim, and some say nothing doing. There's no such city called Chashmonoim. It's some honorific title. It's a word which means honor, or something along those lines. I didn't get a chance to go through too much. Okay, Uvanov and his sons. They had five sons. I'm going to run through them very quickly. There are two things over here. Number one is to forget Torah. The primary goal of the Chashmonaim, of the Yevanim, was the Jewish people should forget. They should forget their Torah. This week's parasha, Yosef, it's all about forgetting. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that Parshas Vayeshev coincides with Parshas with Chanukah. Because in Parshas, the end of Parshas Vayeshev concludes Vayishkocheu v'lezochar sar hamashkim es Yosef Vayishkocheu. He forgot him. Yosef also forgot. That's why he named his son. He named his son Menashe. He had two sons, Ephraim and Menashe. Menashe ki noshani Elokim, Hashem allowed, caused me to forget, is Beis Avi. I forgot all about my family, my father, is Beis Avi, my family, my hometown, whatever that means. That's a topic of how could he name his child to recall that he forgot. Forgetting is not a good thing. Okay, that's not for now, but the point we just want to make is that in the Torah we have in the Parsha, Nashani and Vayishkocheu. Forgetting. Two different words which represent the concept of forgetting against the backdrop of Chanukah, where the Yevanim's goal, primary goal, is that we should forget. That's very interesting, because forgetting doesn't mean to rewrite history. It doesn't mean that we should be obliterated. It's a very different type of battle, which I will discuss in a few moments. The Golus of Yavon is different than all of the other exiles, all of the other tsars that we had in Jewish history. Because in the other battles of Jewish history, either it was either to obliterate us, there's no denial who we are, what we represent, it's just an outright war to get rid of us. Or maybe you want to rewrite history. What is Edom? If you think about this, what is Edom? Is Edom really to get rid of us, to obliterate us? I don't think so. I think Edom basically is to rewrite history. Paras Umodai was the Golus. We're fully acknowledged who we are. There's no denying the fact that there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was a Kohen Gadol. The goal is, let's just obliterate this nation. Lahashmik, Laharuk, Ula'abid, Eskola, Ayudim, Yenarvi, Adzokin, Taf, Noshim, Yemichad, Oshom, Lovis. What was Bavel, the first Golus? It wasn't to destroy us, it was to exile us. it wasn't the goal was never really to destroy us. It was to subdue us. If we would have surrendered, we were really supposed to surrender. The goal was not to destroy us. It's because we resisted. There was a lot of death and destruction. It was to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and to exile us, but it wasn't to destroy the Jewish people. That was the primary intent. Just to exile. Pretty much that was to subdue us. Paras HaMadai was to destroy us. Edom, what is Edom today? Basically the denial that we ever existed. We have no claim to the land, no claim to Eretz Yisrael, Christianity, and Islam. We're in the Golos of Edom. Edom, to a degree, is a composite of Yishmael and Edom. Ramachol Miller, all of his Chidushim. But to a degree, Edom is a composite of Yishmael and Edom. And the combination is, they have Mohammed, and they have Yoshka, and they have perverted the Torah to basically say that we are not the chosen nation. They are the chosen nation. To rewrite history. A big lie. So where then does it come into the picture, the Golos of Yavan? The Golos of Yavan is unique in that it's not to destroy us, it's not to rewrite history, it's not to just to exile us, to push us around. It's that we should just forget. You can remain in Eretz Yisrael, you can live. Just forget about the past. Forget about it. Just give up. Give up your heritage. You should acclimate into the modern world. Become globalists. You should all become Democrats. You should all join us in globalization. In forget about your Torah. The approach is completely different. It says this beferish here in the Al Hanisim, Lahashkicha Matarasecha. Forget. And then it says, Ulahavira Mechukei Ritzonecha. So I saw one of the Mefarshim explains why Davka Mechukei Ritzonecha. Everything about Yavan was philosophy, was machshava, was logic. What disturbed them the most were the mitzvahs that are in the category of a choik. A choik means a mitzvah which has no logical under explanation. It's a law. Don't do this because Hashem said, Paraduma. What doesn't make any sense? Why can't you eat kosher? Why do you have to wear tzitzis? These things, many of the mitzvahs are chukim. There's no reason for it. It's hard pressed to find the logical reason. Okay, you'll find the Tamei HaMitzvahs, you'll find reasons for everything. But this is what disturbed them the most. Okay, the Atah now comes. Berachamecho harabim. I want to discuss this in a few moments. I want to go through the Nusach very quickly. Why does it say in the Nusach Berachamecho harabim? The Torah is not in the business of using, of exaggerating. Hashem ad rachamim. Rachmanis is automatically rabim. Why does the Nusach emphasize Berachamecho harabim? The answer is, there's only one other place. I think there's only one other place, but the primary other place where we use the word Rachamecho harabim is Techiyah Sameisim. In the Baruch of Techiyah Sameisim, Mechayim Meisim Atarav Yoshem Asher, Mechalke Elchayim Bechasim, Mechayim Meisim Berachamim Rabim. This is the place where we use the expression Rachamim Rabim. We don't use it for all other areas in the davening. Person needs a refuah, you don't ask for Rachamim Rabim. You ask for Rachamim. You need Parnasa, you ask for Rachamim. What does this mean, you ask for Rachamim Rabim? What is this all about? Tchiyas HaMeisim, why that is so, I don't know. But this term is exclusive to Tchiyas HaMeisim, which comes to indicate that the Jewish people here at this point in time were dead. We were dead. I'm going to come back to this in a few moments. I don't want to go through the Nusach, but we were in a massive of dead. And we needed to benefit from Hashem's mid of Rachamim Rabim to come back to life. That's how bad it was at the time of Hanukkah. The desperation was, the situation of where we found ourselves was so low, we needed Berachamim Rabim. Okay, next. What did Hashem do? Amadal HaMeyesarasam. What does mean Amadita? It's a very beautiful word. Many people here know the Gemara and the Masechta Makos. Makos, the Gemara talks about I forgot already the whole Gemara. The Gemara talks about there a woman who was the daughter of one of the Kohanim, and during the time of when the Romans came in, she came into the Beis Hamikdash. She took off her shoes, and she walked up to the top of the Mizbeach, and she banged with her shoes on the Mizbeach. And she said, Lucas, Lucas, fox, fox, admosai ata nechale memoinen shel Yisrael vi'i ata oimeid aleihem b'shas dochkom. The words she said was, she called the Mizbeach a fox. And she said, this Mizbeach, do you know how much money was spent on this Mizbeach? Do you know how much wealth, how many people came and offered expensive korbanos, offered sacrifices? They poured upon this Mizbeach an enormous amount of money to serve Hashem. And Hashem, where are you? You have not responded. You have not helped the Jewish people. They suffer. This woman, she obviously suffered from enormous poverty. That's why she left Judaism. She married a Roman officer, and when the Romans prevailed, she came in and she banged with disgrace, disdain upon the Mizbeach with these words, V'iyato oimeid aleihem. You, Hashem, you're not oimeid. You don't come to their rescue. Those same words are used here to say that she's wrong. I mean, what she did was at a later point in time. That was the end of the Bayis Sheni. This was 200 years before. The miracle of Chana was 200 years before the story of Bilgus, of when she said Lucas, Lucas. But it's the same words. No, it's not true. V'yato berachamecha b'im amadit alohem b'yeh sarasa. You do, Hashem, you do come to the rescue. Okay, then we go through the five different items. Rafta Srivam, Danta Estinam, Lekandas Tikmosam, Masadim Mechloshim, Yad Matam, and there are eight things. There are eight different items here. Okay, we're not going to go through, we're running out of time. The eight different items mentioned corresponding to the 8 days of Chanukah. Chanukah obviously is all about the number 8, and therefore we reflect 8 different elements. If you want, you can wax poetic, and you can say that each day of Chanukah corresponds to one of these items. Today is the day, the first day of Chanukah. It's Rafta Es Rivam. Okay, the first day of Chanukah is to take up their riv, their battle, their quarrel. Tomorrow, Shabbos will be Danto Estinam, Din. The third day Chanukah is Nakamto Estikmasam, Nakama. The fourth day is Masarta Gibram Yad Chaloshim. Each day of Chanukah is a different midah. There are 8 different midas over here. With Masadiski, and what's the last day? Zois Chanukah. The Zois HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. Al Pi Hashem V'Yad Moshe. What is the 8th midah? The 8th midah is V'Zeidim B'Yad Oiske Sarasecha. That's the spitz. The spitz of Chanukah is Torah. The menorah represents the Torah Kedosha. Okay, ulchon tu asisa shem gadol v'kadosh v'olamecha. Now this is something which is very interesting, because this is what we do not say on Purim. Why don't we mention this on Purim? Purim, we don't mention that what the end was. Over here, the end of Chanukah was ulchon tu asisa. We make asisa the chashmonoyim. The victors made for you a shem godol, a very great name, v'kodosh, and holy, be'olamach, in your world. What's that all about? What do you mean shem godol? So there are different interpretations. There is one interpretation that says that it used to be in the olden days when you would write a document, you would mention Hashem's name. The Yevonim demanded that you do not write Hashem's name in documents. They erased, it's like history repeats itself. The Democrats, I told you this many times, Democratic Convention, they removed from their charter this year for the first time in American history, this party in American history, one nation under God. God is a dirty word for the Democrats. They've deleted this phrase for the first time. No one talks about this. It's incredible. No one, there's certain things no one talks about in the news. They don't talk about the CDC telling people to go vote, even though they're 100% positive. Kill everyone. Kill everyone out there. Would a rabbi allow a person? I asked a few rabbanim. They told me they would not allow a person who has corona to come into shul under no condition. Even the most, I know a rabbi who was very liberal. I asked him, would you allow a person that shows you a certificate from the laboratory that is positive to come to shul, wear a mask, and sit in shul? He said, no way. But the CDC said, you can go with corona to the voting, your voting station, and kill everyone. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Right? And what else is unbelievable is the Democrats, the expression one nation under God was deleted, no more. It's a dirty word. When the Yevonim prevailed, they put it back. And that's why we mention L'chos Shem Godol, we have restored the Shem Godol. We have restored the shame. You know, don't worry, the Democrats, soon they'll come along and they'll make a decree that on the dollar bill, take off God we trust. Same thing. Before you'll see if they'll delete that from the dollar bill. Not that the dollar bill is going to be around much longer. Everything will become credit cards soon. But when the Yevonim prevailed, what did they do? They put back Hashem's name in the documents. People should know about the Ribbono Shel Olam. When I was a child, very little, can remember, there was a movie on television I watched, and it was called Think God. Old guy, who was his name? It was this old guy, and he played God in the movie. And he came, I remember, look, imagine, I remember these things. I don't remember anything else. I remember all this Narshka. But it made a rosham on me. This old guy, probably someone knows who he was. This old guy, he was a very famous actor. He came to this world, and he was looking for someone to help him. That they should just promote the concept, think God. People should just think about, there's a God. Think about it. And now, I don't remember anything else about the whole, but and it's amazing, that is exactly what's happened over here. The Yevonim, they wanted to obliterate any Zecher. And the Nitzochon was, no, just put on your documents little subtle things. The dollar bill should say, in God we trust. The documents of the state should say, one nation under God. Little things. No one's asking you to come to Daven three times a day to learn Daf Gemara. Little things should, society should have a little bit of hakara, recognition. There's something called a Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was the accomplishment of the Nitzochon, the victory of the Chashmonim, of the Yevonim. Ulecha Asisa, Shem Godol, V'Kadosh, the Olam Echa. In your world, does Biden ever conclude his speech with God bless America? I don't know. I don't recall. Does he ever conclude? Yeah, Obama used to do that. Obama used to at least he used to do that. I'm not so sure Biden does that. Biden. But you know, it's very disturbing though that in Eretz Yisrael they don't do it either. Netanyahu never did it. Now he slipped one or two times. He actually mentioned Hashem's name. Recently, in the last like a year, yeah, it was big news in the news. They thought that Mamashi lost his mind, because Netanyahu never ever, all his years as a seasoned politician, would never ever mention in any of his speeches, and he's very good, he's very eloquent, he knows how to talk like none other. No, that was a dirty word. To talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam in Eretz Yisrael is taboo. It's very bizarre. No, it's very bizarre. But that was the victory. Ulamcha Yisrael Sisa, you did Teshua Gedoyla, a Teshua Gedoyla, very great salvation. Again, we have the word Gedoyla. We have here this word Gedoyla. Okay, notice the word Godol appears quite a number of times. Ufurkon redemption yom kiyam hazeh, like today. Yachki bovenech levi resech vinu chalecha v'tiras v'lashach v'il neiris b'chatzoyitz kashach. What does that mean? They lit candles in your courtyard. Does this refer to the Chanukah menorah? Does this refer to the menorah? No, because the menorah was not lit in the chotzer. The menorah was lit in the heichel. So what does it mean over here? They lit neiros in the courtyard. The only neiros we find in Chazal that were lit in the courtyard would be the Simchas Beis Hashoeva. And indeed, many commentators say that's exactly what it refers to over here, is that the Chashmonaim, one of the things that they succeeded in obliterating, is a very powerful idea, no celebration. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we don't appreciate what it did for Klal Yisrael. If you go ask Yeshiva Bachar, they'll tell you the highlight of Yeshiva is Purim. And it depends where. It depends. Now it's a very complicated world because of, you know, besides Corona, because boys drink. It's very common. But it used to be in the olden days, Purim somehow was a day that cemented your connection to Hashem. It was a very powerful day. The Simcha. That originated with Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It's one thing every day to learn a Daf Yom, to learn a Daf Gemara, to go to a Shir. But if you don't have some joy, some Simcha, it can get very dull and boring, and people can just drop out. There has to be an element of joy, the Samachta. And this joy was fully expressed on Sukkos by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The joy was so great, Misham Shayavim Ruach HaKodesh. The joy came forth with Ruach HaKodesh. And Chazal say, Mishaloi Roh Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Loi Roh Simcha Meyamav. If you did not see and participate in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos, you don't even know what Simcha is. And the Yevonim knew that was part of the secret of the success of Klal Yisrael. Not just that we learn Torah, of course you need Torah, and Shabbos, and Milah. There are a lot of elements that guarantee Jewish continuity. What's this? Everyone's always struggling. What is the secret to Jewish continuity? What is the secret? Is it Torah? Is it Eretz Yisrael? Is it Bris Milah? Is it family? What is it? There are many elements. One of the elements is Simcha, is your connection to Yadah should be Mole Simcha, with the full emotion. And the time of Chazal, that took place in Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we don't have Simchas Torah today for nothing. Our Simchas Torah today in our generation really is like the equivalent of Simchas Beis HaShoeva on a big scale. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Misham Shoeva, Ruach HaKodesh, Mishlor, Simcha, Beis HaShoeva, Leiro, Simcha, Miyamav, and the Yevanim, they targeted that. They canceled. Thus, when there was victory, you know what they did? For all future generations, Hidliku Neirois B'chatzros Kodshecha. They revitalized, they renewed the intensity of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where they lit candles. That's what it says. They lit these massive torches in the Chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, throughout the entire Yerushalayim, all the courtyards. This refers to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And in fact, some of us want to say that's what Chanukah is 8 days. Because Chanukah is coming to give back to give back the joy of Sukkos, which is 8 days. Sukkos is a holiday of V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Lekecha, Ata, more so than the other holidays. V'samachta, and therefore, this is what they try to suck out of Klal Yisrael, And now when they were victorious, they restore the Simchas Beis Hashem, which is removed over here, the healing name is B'chaz Kodshecha, and corresponding to that of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which took place over the 8 days of Sukkos, the Kavu Shmoinas Yimei Chanukah. It's an outgrowth of Sukkos. It was taken away from us in Sukkos. Lahoidos Ulahala L'Shimcha Hagdol. Again, the word Gadol. The word Gadol over here is you have the Kohen Gadol, and you have over here the Shem Gadol, and the end L'Shimcha Hagdol, and Ulacha Siso is Shem Gadol, Atashua Gedoyla. Okay, we have the word Gadol is all over the place here. That requires explanation. Why the word Gadol is such an incredible part of this nusach. Now, a few minutes we have left. I want to show you an idea, which is a very controversial idea, but it's so true, and no one talks about this. And I knew this idea already years ago, but the one that really brought it out the most is Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. I'm sure you know who he is. He's a very, very famous rav. He used to be a rav in Queens. I think now I'm not so sure he's there in Queens anymore. But he's a very young guy, a very young rabbi. He's a very big darshan, a very big speaker. He speaks in Torah anytime. I think he has over 6,000 shiurim. He's a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he put out already a couple of svarim, and he just put out a sefer on Chanukah. It's a beautiful sefer in English from Art Scroll. Someone wrote up his essay, or someone wrote up many of his shurim, and he has there an idea from Yosheber Soloveitchik. Yosheber, he basically, in this essay, he takes Rabbi Yosheber to task to prove what he said. It seems that Rabbi Yosheber Soloveitchik once said, this is what he said, and I've heard this over the years many times. No one wants to talk about this. It's something which is a little bit controversial, and that is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. If you go ask someone in kindergarten, they're going to tell you that the Yavonim, the Goyim, you know, the real lowlifes out there in the world, they desperately try to remove Judaism from Klal Yisrael. They try to uproot. That's the kindergarten version. The kindergarten version of Chanukah is that they were Syrian Greeks in these costumes, and these, you know, the whole spiel that you would see on a movie. They would dress them up. They come with an intensity, with a wickedness to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's the kindergarten version that they teach about Chanukah. Rav Soloveitchik, and not many others also, but Rav Soloveitchik just says it mamish bepe mole, and he takes him to task on this. He says that's not what happened. The holiday was basically a civil war. It wasn't even a civil war. We lost. It was the Yavonim were successful in persuading a significant segment of the Jewish people to give up Judaism, to join them in benefiting from the world. Come be part of the larger world of society. Benefit from everything the world has to offer, from entertainment, from philosophy, from beauty. Enjoy the good life, Hellenism. Who needs this archaic, old-fashioned religion that are totally, totally outdated? Give it up. Come to the sports arena. Come to the museums. Come to our colleges. Come enjoy life. And they were very successful, to the point where the Jews that assimilated, they are the ones that began to persecute anyone that was still observant. So the enemies were not the Yevonim, they were the cause. The enemies were the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim means Jews who basically assimilated. And they were the ones that were undermining and doing everything in their power to remove Yiddishkeit from the few people that were left who were still observant. And Rav Yisrael Leviatchik goes on to say, basically, it's shocking what he says, that there was almost no one left. There was no one left. I mean, how does he know this? That's the question. Basically, he says that the time of Hanukkah miracle, I mean, I don't know, he doesn't say numbers, but the way what he basically says is that 99% of the Jewish population in the world were no longer religious. There was no one left. Everyone already gave up. Everyone, there were no minyanim, not because the government shut them down, because we shut them down. There was no interest to going to daven, to going to shul, to learning. 99% of the population gone. They're Jews, but no religion, no practice. That's a shocking thing to say. They're not going to tell that to you in kindergarten. They're not going to say, but Rav Soloveitchik said that. So he Rav Gladstein, we're out of time, but Rav Gladstein, he is very disturbed with this statement from Rav Soloveitchik, that basically 99% of Jews, they gave up religion totally. And he said, how does he know that? Let me do research to see if he's right. And he struggles, and he goes through one source after another. It's a fantastic article. And I read it very quickly. What really caught my attention was the very end of the article. This is like really hilarious for me. He then says, someone brought my attention to the Reish Rav, Rav Aaron Levine, my great grandfather, who wrote in his sefer the Hadrash V'Ho'ion exactly this. He wrote this, and he proved it from. I forgot what he said. I don't remember. I read it so quickly, and I didn't have a chance to look it over before. But for shit, the exact words. I think he proved it from. From the Al Hanisim, Ula Haviram Lashkicham Tarasecha. Okay, I don't remember. I have to go look up. But he brought a raya. Maybe it wasn't Al Nisim. But he basically got a whole long page analyzing what the Reish Rav said and his diuk to prove that Rav Soloveitchik was correct. Okay, you don't understand how fascinating I find this. And this is in Rav Gladstein's new sefer. And just besides going into all the details, but if you look at the nusach of the Al Hanisim, it's forget about finding a particular phrase. The whole Al Hanisim basically says this in its entirety. There's no smoking gun here. Okay, forget about, you know, it's like the elections. The whole thing stinks. What more do you want? You want to go find a. What are you looking for? A dead body? The whole thing from beginning to end stinks. The whole Nusach says this. And let's start with the one or two points. How do we start? Let's be nasty now. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. All of the Mefarshim, they're very, very disturbed. They all worked up. One of the things, they're all very disturbed. What are we mentioning Yoichanan Kohen Gadol? Yoichanan Kohen Gadol is the biggest embarrassment that Klal Yisrael ever had. A Kohen Gadol, a holy person who went in Lifnai V'Lifnim for 80 years. And then the very last minute, the end of his life, he's 80 years old, he gives it up. He becomes a Tzedokin Apikoiris. He's the biggest embarrassment for us. You have to go put him in the Al Hanisim. And the Al Hanisim, what's going on over here? Oh, so everyone apologizes. When it says Yoichanan, it's not that Yoichanan. It's a different Yoichanan. When it says Kohen Gadol, no. We stripped him from his title of Kohen Gadol. We gave it to Matisyo. Everyone is so apologetic, put on white gloves, to go figure out how we can work around this one. They say he did it, but he went back. He was chozer b'shuva. He gave all the Kabbalistic interpretations. That's the one that I really, right? Matisyahu, he was misakein his neshama. right? You understand what that means? I don't know what that means, okay? You have all these way out interpretations that are going to explain, to answer the question. The question is so great. What are you going to answer here already? Kabbalah, Matis Yowas, Mesachinis, Neshama? What's going on over here? You know what the answer is? The answer is exactly the point. The degree of abandonment of Judaism was so great that even the Kohen Gadol went off the Derech. There was no one left. The whole Klal Yisrael, Rav Yosher Berra says there was no one left. 99.9% of the Jewish population wasn't religious anymore. No one wants to talk about this. That was the miracle. Gone. Everyone disappeared. No minyanim, no yoyados, finished. That's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. In the days of Matisyahu, the son of Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol who went off the Derech after 80 years. You know why he went off the Derech? Because there was no one left. Because the whole Klal Yisrael is gone. He's also gone. He's also out. He's also went to the circus to go watch the animals run around. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about an era of Jewish history where there was no one religious anymore. Finished. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know, I better do now Techiyas HaMeisim. Berachamecha, what was the second kasha we started with? Berachamecha HaRabim. What does it mean, Berachamecha HaRabim? Techiyas HaMeisim. The Taka dead. There's no one left. If even the Kohen Gadol went off the Derech, there's no one left. You know what these people need? Rachamecha. This is not like Purim. Purim, what was the whole miracle of Purim? Lech kinois es kol ha-Yehudim. And we're all going to daven. There's no one coming to daven. There are no shuls and no one's interested. Hashem says, V'ato you, Hashem. Berachamecha harabim. The expression that we use for mechayei meisim atorav l'shem mechal kalchayim v'as mechayei meisim berachamim rabim. Tchias ha-meisim for Klal Yisrael. There was nothing left. They succeeded. Hashkichim teresecho v'mechukim v'tzenecho. It was you, Hashem, amata be'tzorosim rafta, esrim dan esidim chanzim gosim, esagim v'mechloshim v'matvenu. That's the whole theme. The whole theme of this Al HaNisim is to reflect the incredible miracle that Hashem Himself stepped in to resurrect Yiddishkeit in Klal Yisrael. It was the biggest Baal Tshuva movement. The miracle of Hanukkah is Be'etzem, the greatest Baal Tshuva movement that ever happened in the world. The miracle inspired people. The whole sequence of events of the Milchoma and the Nes of the Menorah, it inspired Klal Yisrael to be Chozer B'Shuva, to where we are today. That's why we go to the nth degree, Shem Godol V'Kodosh V'Olamecha. You know why? Because there was nothing before. In Purim, there was always a Shem Godol V'Kodosh. We didn't need to go make for you a Shem Gadol V'Kadosh. In Chanukah, Hashem was forgotten. No one cared. And amongst us, it was forgotten. The whole Al HaNisim, when you look at it, even though there's no smoking gun, but it's clear as day, we're describing a generation where there were no religious Jews left. Shocking thing to say. Rav Soloveitchik says it, the Reish Rav says it, and that's what it says here in the Al HaNisim. And v'ato you Hashem rachamech harabim, it was mamish techiyas hameisim. We had no part in this. Hashem, you inspired the chashmonoim to fight battles. Miracles happened. Another miracle to wake us up, to bring about a resurrection of our commitment to mekayim Torah mitzvahs. That's what it's all about. And the truth is, this miracle happens every single generation. There's no reason in the world why after World War II, after the Holocaust, when everyone knows the story with Life magazine wrote off Orthodox Jewry as a dying breed, they were right. There's no, when what they wrote in Life magazine, that Orthodox Jewry is finished, they were on the mark. And the only reason why there was a renaissance, it's only because V'ata Berachamecha HaRabim. Tchias HaMeisim. Every generation, against all odds, Hashem puts in Klal Yisrael the will to persevere, to come back. Okay, thank you. I went over time 9 minutes. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Im Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will resume.
So when do we eat latkes?
Don't eat too many latkes. Oil is not good.